I have a passage of scripture today from 1 John, the 5th chapter, and verses 12 through 15 that I would like to begin with. Verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And even if we enlarged upon that verse alone, we would find there's much contained in the confines of that small verse. "For he that hath the Son has life." And this really may be enlarged upon, would more fully mean if we really follow the Son, if we keep his commandments as he commanded, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And this is really showing to God and Christ that we love this Son if we keep the commandments which he set forth for each one of us to follow. But if we do not have the Son in our lives, then we have not this life. This was 1 John 5, in case somebody was trying to find it. I see some looking about. Verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And we know in times past we've enlarged upon this, and I don't intend to enlarge too much, but belief entails action upon each one of our parts. When we say we believe in Jesus Christ, it's more than just saying we believe that he is a person. Because there are sufficient scriptures that would indicate that belief entails doing something about it. And even as James said it, "Be ye not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word." And as even was brought out in our Sunday school class this morning, our works are important. Our works do follow us. They really show the type of people we are and what we're doing. And this I will enlarge upon a bit later. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Anything according to his will, he heareth us. "And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." And it seems like as time unfolds in each of our individual lives, the increasing need of prayer is becoming more imminent. It is becoming more a part of our lives, I believe. And this need will not get less. And so this shows there are certain things here. If we have qualified, if we have followed Jesus Christ to the end that he intended for us to follow him, and if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And of course we know this has to be according to his will. If we would turn back to 1 John 3 and read from the 21st verse and down through 24, we would find some other scripture that ties with this. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." And this even would tie in with our conscience, I believe, to a degree. It seems like many times our conscience does condemn us. We feel we've done something that is wrong and we can't really rest in our own self. And it could even be more involving than this. "If the things that we do condemn us not, then we have this confidence toward God, and this is the confidence, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." These tie rather well together. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Now, Jesus Christ taught us rather plainly of the importance of love. He even said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And I believe that this is one of the keys in the scriptures for us growing closer to God in Christ, is our love and our concern one for another. If you wanted that last reference, it's John 13:35, in case you wanted. I didn't turn to it. But anyway, the love we have for one another is vital. And again, this isn't just a spoken thing. This is an action thing. By our life, God knows whether we really have love toward the brethren. But God's plan and Jesus Christ's plan did not just stop with love for the brethren. For he said, love your enemies as well. He said, even get involved. He says, pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. So really, when we go to analyzing fully the things that are expected of us, it is very involving of our individual selves. And I almost spoke along that line today. In fact, I was torn between which sermon I should preach or prepare upon. And I happened to choose this particular train of thinking, which centered around some things that happened last fall as I traveled. And I felt I should prepare a sermon sometime around them. And to last evening, I had not done it. And so I chose that course rather than the other. And really, yet, I really don't know which I should really have chosen, but I felt this was the one I should. Because I hope today to be able to install in each one of us a greater desire of oneness with God, of oneness with one another, a greater unity. And I believe these things can come about in our attitude of greater service to God and how we deal with our fellow beings is a part of our greater service to God. Even as King Benjamin of old said, that this much he knew, that when you were in the service of your fellow beings, you were in the service of God. Believe me, read that Mosiah, the first chapter or second chapter. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And this Holy Spirit is vital in our lives. I like Paul speaking to the people in Galatians, the fifth chapter, because again, this verse ties pretty well with this, the 25th verse. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There is another affirmative statement. If we live in it, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, the things of the Spirit are completely contrary to the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh, which you can read in the 19th and 20th and 21st verses of this particular chapter of Galatians, tells us that things like adultery and murder and things like this are definitely works of the flesh. But it even becomes more involving, because even like variants of quarreling and disputing or strife, which is contention and things of this nature, also are condemned as a work of the flesh. And of course, anything that would be contrary to God would be a work of the flesh. And these are things that we must try to arrive at and not to follow such things as this. But the fruit of the Spirit, by their works you know them. By any tree, when it is a time of harvest, we know full well, especially of the type of the tree, by the fruit that we see upon this tree. And here we find in verses 22 and 23 about the fruits of the Spirit. And to me, these are some of the things that will point us to a greater ability to be able to communicate more fully with God in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if we have the fruit of the Spirit in our individual lives, then we know that we not only have been a hearer of the word, but we have applied it to our life and become a doer of this word as well. And we know the fruit of the Spirit here, it lists them, and they are important. And the number one one is love. And so we really can't underestimate the greatness of love in our individual lives. It is vital. It is a part of it. It is more involved than even we needs perhaps sometimes think, because even charity, which I probably will touch upon a little later, is the pure love of Christ. And this is a thing that Moroni said, that we must pray with all the energy of heart that we might be filled with this love. And I feel it is vital today that you and I pray with all the energy of our heart that we might be filled with this love. Because when this love reaches out, it even says that charity can cover the multitude of sins. And by this, I don't need to think for a minute that you can continue in a multitude of sins and have charity. I believe that it's really covered, or you have repented of them, and a charity and all its pure love has literally covered them or hid them. But if you have sin, you certainly are not going to have this charity, because it is number one. It is vital in our life. And so a fruit of the Spirit is love. And second mentioned here is joy. That means that within the people who really follow God in Christ, there's going to be some joy. And by this, it don't mean there will be no sorrow. Because again, even in our Sunday school class, we discussed today that there was troubles and trials. There are problems in this life. They're going to be here as long as we live. But with the help of God and Jesus Christ, you and I can actually gain the victory, so to speak, over these problems. We can be supported in them, for one thing, according to Alma. We can be supported in these trials and troubles and these afflictions. And I believe this with all my heart. And it didn't mean that they wouldn't be a real thing. But nonetheless, in all this, we can have strength for whatever we expect it to do. And another fruit of the Spirit is peace. And we are to be the peaceful followers of Jesus Christ. And another one is long-suffering. And hand-in-hand with this goes patience. Another scripture says the trying of your faith works patience. It also tells us that even though our patience and the trial of our faith takes place, that it's more precious than gold that perisheth. And gentleness is another trait of a fruit of the Spirit that should be a part of our individual lives. It maybe is the natural inclination of man to be harsh. I think some people might be natural gentle, but I think the inclination of man more, and especially carnal man, is to be condemning and harsh and not exactly gentle. And yet gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit that we have, as well as goodness, as well as faith. And we know without faith it is even impossible to please God. And meekness is another trait that should be a part of our lives. And we might say we're meek, but God really knows if we're a meek and a lowly people by the way we act, by the way we walk, by the type of pride we may have or not have. And we're told to not be lifted up in pride. And temperance is another one of the fruit of the Spirit. We are to be temperate in all things that we pursue. And a person could just go on and on and really enlarge upon these. But really today, this wasn't the full intent of what I wished to bring out, because I just wanted to show that there are certain things that are expected of us. We are to live in the Spirit. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Going back to verse 25 again. And I would like to turn at this time to Moroni, the 7th chapter, and tie this with this as well. Moroni, the 10th chapter, I beg your pardon, in the 7th verse. I'd have everybody looking at the wrong reading. This says, and ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. For he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. Now this is the way that God works among the children of men. He works according to this power and according to their faith. He works. We find places in Scripture, and one instance is in this same book. And it's in 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, wherein a certain group of people had gotten so close to God that their faith was sufficient that he was able to heal all those who were afflicted in any matter. And this included the blind and the deaf and the lame and the halt and this type and any sickness or anything. And they were all healed because of sufficient faith. They had had, it is true, quite a trial before all this come about. And in this, we find that they were able to draw very close to God. And perhaps even things that have happened today, and I believe that, I believe certain things are happening, and maybe things happening that we have regularly prayed over more recently, various illnesses of those who are grievously ill, and without a question of a doubt, without the help of God, they will not even survive. Maybe these things are, and as I had cause to say yesterday, to show just what type of stuff we're made of, to see if you and I are equal to arising to a great need. If we're able to arise at it in a unified method of, and I don't say everybody has to say the same prayer, I don't mean that, but in unity we might seek God. And that we might do it in such a way of humility and having the fruit of the Spirit in our life that our prayers truly might be availing. For there are many blessings to those who love God and keep His commandments. The Scripture is full of things that would happen to man. And many of them is voiced in the Book of Mormon, wherein it states that those peoples who come to this continent, various ones, inasmuch as they kept the commandments of God, that be blessed upon the face of the land. Not only in posterity, but in possessions and spiritually. I think they could be blessed physically as well. But in all this, there is another side of the picture, and that is if they failed to do this, there were certain things that could happen to them of a very grievous nature. And even the Old Testament shows the promises unto the children of Israel by serving God, and likewise the things that would happen if they failed to serve Him. And these things were rather grievous. And we might point ourselves to these things from time to time and read upon them and study them. Now going on down in this same chapter of Moroni, the 8th verse, 10th chapter. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. It isn't a different God. They come from the same God. And deny not the gifts of God, for they are many. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered. But it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. And if we would turn over, and I want to go hand in hand with 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. This whole chapter enlightens us on the part of the body of Christ. The different component parts. The parts of the church, so to speak. And that these various spiritual gifts are an important, integral part of Christ's church. Now, Paul, in speaking to the Corinthians, he says to the Corinthian people in the first verse, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. But now these same people were converted unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had repented of their sins, and He did not want them ignorant of the spiritual gifts." He went on to tell them that they were given for a very definite purpose, for man to profit withal in these. That there were different ways they functioned, that there were different ways than they were administered. But all in all, they still served a great oneness of purpose. And in all this today, I want to bring out these things. I want to enlarge upon them, and I want to stress them, and so impress them upon your mind that you might maybe more fully comprehend the greatness of not only these gifts, but of every functioning part of the Church of Christ. And the thing is, now, I would not have time to go into every detail of everything. Some things I might touch lightly, and maybe some things not at all. This don't mean I'm attempting to leave them out, because there isn't even time to go into that much detail. But the number one here that is mentioned is the spiritual gifts, of which there are nine. And you find they go hand in hand, both in Moroni and in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. They even are listed in the same order as I compared them today. Reading from verse 10 and the 10th chapter of Moroni. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom. And of course, over here it just says, to one is given the word of wisdom in Corinthians. To another, knowledge by the same Spirit. And this says, teach the word of knowledge. To another, exceeding great faith. And to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. It didn't mean there was a whole lot of spirits. There is one Lord. There's one hope. There's one baptism in this, which we might touch upon a little bit later. And one Spirit and one God is over all. And then we have to one that he may work mighty miracles. To another that he may prophesy concerning all things. And to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. Here's one we find that is different from the one mentioned in 1 Corinthians, because that says the discerning of spirits. And it is vital that we do have the discerning of spirits among us, that we might know the spirits whereby we are led. And also I believe that even the beholding of angels is important, and ministering spirits. These do kind of go together, and yet they are a bit different. To another, all kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretations of language and diverse kinds of tongues. And here listed are the spiritual gifts. These are given for a purpose. And according to this same passage of Scripture here, they will be with us for a long time, only according to certain circumstances that could vary it. Moroni said here also that I want you to remember that all these good gifts comes of Christ. And in verse 14, and I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. And there enters in a thing called unbelief that can vary the degree of the reception of the spiritual gifts. There are some today that believe that the spiritual gifts were only for a certain specific time. They believe that they aren't even to be had today. And on the other side of the token, we have those who believe in spiritual gifts. And these are not alone those of the restoration. There are even others than this that believe. And this same writer here, though, very plainly says that the only reason that these gifts will be done away is because of unbelief. And this could even come right down to the Church of Christ. And since it is those I'm speaking to today, for the more part, perhaps we should enlarge upon this. According to our belief, these things are had among us. And so, if they're not there in the amount they should be, then we better be looking at our belief. Is there enough unbelief that is really preventing it? And why does unbelief come in? It is by things that perhaps has happened in our life. Maybe there is not sufficient love for one thing, one for another. There are many things that could stop sufficient belief. And verse 15 is one that enlarges. Wherefore, there must be faith in order to have the spiritual gifts. There must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. And I earlier brought that out, that charity is a pure love of Jesus Christ. And you turn over to Moroni 7 and 52 and 53 and read it for yourself. And it is the greatest of the things that you can have. And charity is a pure love of Christ, and whosoever will be found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And he is the same one that said, and I earlier brought that out, pray with all the energy of your heart that you may be filled with the love of Jesus. And it is important that we spend time in praying with our energy and try to increase this energy that we might be filled with that love. And by our actions, we're really proving whether we're really filled with that love. By the way we deal one with another. How charitably deal not only those without, but those within this Church of Christ. And like Lot, I believe it was, and Abraham, way back in their difficulties they had, when they was going to divide the land. Why, we be brethren. We're going to do it this way, even though Abraham had to take a lesser goodly part of the land. They were brethren. They were able to solve their difficulty without a lot of hassle and problems. Well, anyway, here in verse 18, I might read that. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, if the day cometh that the power, and notice that also says power, and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And now we are pretty well aware that there will be a time when the literal power of heaven, after New Jerusalem is built, will come down among the children of men. And his ministry will be endued with a similar power like unto the day of Pentecost. I believe that. And they will have a great power. Yet I believe that there is available today power perhaps greater than we have tapped. I believe that. In fact, I would say I know that. And I'm not trying to say that it would exceed or come up to the power of heaven that one day will be, at least not in abundance of that. And yet I am full well aware that there were men who performed some mighty miracles, even unto raising the dead, even before that power was given at the time of Pentecost and on this continent when the disciples walked this land and these lands over here. And back to the American continents, that a great power was with them. But even preceding that, we know what Nephi did through his faith. And there is another key, the importance of faith in our lives. And without this, we know that many things we could not do. I would like to spend a little more time now in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And maybe starting with verse 11 and reading through 13. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And he's referring to the spiritual gifts he just talked about. And then he goes on, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, as we go on into this, Paul draws a likeness. First, he draws it to our own body, and then he draws it unto the body, the Church of Christ. It's not only does our body have different component parts, likewise, the Church of Christ has different functioning parts as well as in it. And every one of those parts must function the same as our body, if it's going to be completely a working unit. Now, before I enlarge on that, which I really want to, I just want to read a few verses from Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And this is found in verses 4 through 7. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And this is plain. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now God works in oneness. He has different things to perform upon the face of this earth. He is one that is inclined toward oneness and unity. And before I go to this other here on the church in Corinthians, I want to turn to John, the 17th chapter, and show the desire of Jesus Christ for the believers to be one. And I don't intend to read too much here. It's in verses 20 through 23 of the 17th chapter. And Jesus Christ says, neither do I pray alone for those apostles that were chosen and those ministry that were chosen, and more specifically here he was talking about the apostles, but it would involve all ministry. Not alone do I pray for them, but I pray for those who will believe in their words. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them. That's his ministry here. That they may be one, even as we are one. But not only, and also those who believed in their words were a part of this. Not alone the ministry. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect, made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And so here, the thing, love ties in with this, that the world has sent them to do a certain thing. They were sent into the world to do a certain thing. And they did. And he wanted that oneness to exist. And if we would turn to one other thought in Matthew 9, and you can read this in verses about 3 through 6, and I won't turn there. Because it was a question asked, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every reason? And then it went on to say that in the beginning he made them male and female. And for this cause was a man to leave father and mother and to cleave unto his wife, and they twain should be one flesh. And what I wanted to show there is, again, God works in oneness, not only in his church, not only among his ministry, not only among those who believe in him, but also in man and wife. The greater they're able to achieve that true oneness, even though yet they're two separate persons, and we're well aware of this. Yet, and even though they are two separate personages, yet they're commanded to be twain, or one flesh. They're to act as a unit. And the more able they are to act as a unit, the more blessed their marriage will be, the more functionable it will be. And many homes might not have needed to fell by the wayside if man and wife had come so close together, husband and wife, that they had this true oneness that God really intended for them to have. It is vital. And upon strong homes, a strong nation is formed. Upon weak homes, a weak nation results. And I think I needn't even go too much into that, because we can see it today, what is literally happening before our eyes. But I did want to show that in all this, God expects us to function in a certain way. Now turning back again to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And in this particular chapter, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." In other words, we have eyes, we have ears, we have arms and legs, we have toes and fingers, and every one of these things are vital to the function of your body. If all were the eye, where would the hearing? If all were the hearing, where would the seeing be? So these things are vital. And not only this, as we go on down here, it says, "Now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him." Not as it pleased you or anybody else. Every part of your body was placed there as it pleased God. The same way with Christ's church, is which this is drawing a likeness unto. Everything was placed in this church as it pleased God, and of course his Son Jesus Christ was a part of it. But this was done as it pleased him, and certain of these functional units I want to bring out a little later. But here we first have the gifts of the Spirit. These are part of the function of Christ's church. Then we've had the different officers that are placed in it. And first apostles, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that helps, governments, gifts, and all these things were placed in the church that it might function efficiently. And even in his church are different people, different members. And each one of them has different capacities and duties. We needn't forget that. Each one has certain talents. But in all this, all these things are placed in the body as it hath pleased him. And we want to remember that. And even in the functioning of our body here, when we think a little further here, let's go on down a little further. And if it were all one member in 19, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And in all this I cannot say, I do not have need of the hearing or this. And in verse 22, and this is something I want us to note. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And I think here is one thing that sometimes we really lose the true perspective in Jesus Christ and God and the whole functioning of the whole plan. That even these things that seem that are feeble are necessary. And I want to elaborate a bit on this. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. And the comeliness is those things that are pleasing to the sight. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now I wanted to enlarge upon that. And just like here, we have a covering of a skin, we have a form, which gives us a personage. And this personage can be agreeable to the sights of men. That's true, maybe some more agreeable than others. But then, God made us all. But in this, we have what makes our fingers work. We have the muscles, we have the tendons, we have the blood flow and all this. And some of these things might not seem as pleasing if we see just saw them right out and out. And I happen to think of another thing here that's vital in our body. And that is the capillaries in our body. It says little minute blood vessels, which are very thin. And it says they form a network in close contact with all living cells in the body. They connect with